what are some of the most misused words that you've heard in the media?
The most misused ones in the media are very common to many of us, and they're expressions that sound very similar to real words,
mm-hmm.
Just get a bit of a twist. So often we hear people talking about all intensive purposes, which is a slight variant on all intents and purposes. Or sometimes you'll hear someone say that is a mute point. It's obviously a very
moot.
Quiet point, which is meant to say a moot point. Or one of our senior politicians a number of years ago talked about somebody being in high dungeon instead of high dudgeon. And of course, the pattern here is that the mispronunciation is very close to a real expression. And somebody, particularly if they're speaking live, they're not thinking about it very clearly, and they just hear it slightly differently in their head, and sometimes it becomes a fairly common error that spreads throughout the language.
I mean, as you mentioned with politicians, it happens quite a bit. I mean, Tony Abbott, depository and suppository.
That was a classic, of course. The nobody is a suppository of all wisdom.
They're
thinking about.
Yeah. Now, the ABC, they are getting this newsletter after they got a series of complaints with ABC Sports using the word gallant, which actually is a made-up word. So what are some made-up words that you've heard that actually don't even exist in the English language?
Well, the ones that we often try and highlight in our annual list of the worst words and phrases of the year, they tend to come out of the corporate world, and they're often done for commercial reasons. So on our list this year, for example, one of the major department stores set up what it called a giftorium.
A giftorium, right.
For Mother's Day, which was a place where you could go and buy a gift. But for Christmas, it went even further, and the people who staffed the giftorium were labelled giftorium gifticians.
Okay, that's just ridiculous.
It's just getting a bit out of control, isn't it?
Yeah.
A number of years ago, there was a fast food chain that talked about the goodification.
The what?
The goodification. It's all part of the goodification of food. And what they're doing is just they're deliberately trying. I mean, some marketer, I suppose, came up with this and got paid a lot of money for it. But they're trying to invent words that will draw attention and obviously sell more of their product. But a bank was trying to a couple of years ago sell itself through football, and it talked about footifying.
Footifying.
We want to footify Australia, which these are all non-words. They're not usages that are common. And when they're done for commercial and fairly tacky commercial reasons, that's where I think we should be putting the foot down and saying, look, I'm sorry, that's not a word. We call them Franken words. You know, they're sort of made up Frankenstein words that sort of combine genuine elements, but the effect is not very effective at all.
I mean, you've mentioned this in the your list of worst offenders for 2015, but the Franken word with gasm. Putting anything with gasm at the end. What are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, look, I had a bit more of a mixed thought about that one. It's one of the productive trends in English. A similar one in recent years was the selfie trend that then got turned into different types of elfies. So belfie was taking a selfie of your bottom, or helfie was taking a selfie of your hair. And so the latest example of that is the gasm trend. So gasm, we all know an orgasm is, of course, if you take the gasm ending of that and put it onto something else, you get something like a bedgasm, which is that feeling you get at the end of the day when you finally lie down in bed and feel very relaxed.
Mm.
Or if you go out and have a really good shopping trip on a pair of shoes, you have a shoegasm. And on the one hand, I kind of like the inventiveness of that is worth noting. But on the other hand, there's just something slightly off about it, having a food gasm or a shoe gasm. So we ended up putting it on our list of the worst words and phrases of the year.
What is selfie? That was actually created in Australia. That word. Are you surprised about what words end up in the English lexicon?
Not at all. I mean, English is one of the largest, has one of the largest vocabularies of any language in the world. I mean, the Oxford English Dictionary has about 600,000 words in it. But there's about 200,000 words in general circulation. That's roughly about double other languages such as French and German. So its speakers of English, and because we occur in different parts of the world, have been very good over the years at bringing all sorts of new and creative words in, words from other languages, or just compounding and making up words, such as the examples we've been talking about. And that's all a good thing. That enriches our language. But it is worth stopping and just considering whether, you know, we can do without gift or engiftition or footifying or goodification of the country.
Oh, gosh. In media, I've noticed we also tend to overuse words a lot, like allegedly in reporting crimes and law issues. What's an overused word that you can't stand?
Well, do you want them listed alphabetically, chronologically, or in order of annoyance? I think the trend in recent years, the one that I dislike the most would be the word like.
Like, oh, yeah, I'm guilty of that, I'm sorry.
Which is a bit of a filler. It's a sort of a word that people use when they're thinking as they're talking. So it was like, I went like to the like. And I suppose it's better than umming and ahhing, which is the alternative for it. But it got to the point where, and of course it came out of the United States, it was an American linguistic feature, but it's got to the point where I think it just sounds pretty awful, and it's a bit of a marker in some ways of somebody who's not very articulate, and the other one, of course, is absolutely.
Absolutely, yeah.
Absolutely turns up. There's various people over the years have put out to popular vote through the internet and various measures of what is your most disliked word,
mm-hmm.
and it's not, it doesn't surprise me, although it did initially, but the word absolutely turns up on almost every list and towards the top of every list. We use it as a kind of an intensifier, you know, to reinforce agreement with something we're saying or something somebody else is saying, but it does get very much overused, and it's something that a lot of people dislike.
Mm. And just to finish off, going back to the worst word or phrase that the Plain English Foundation has announced, possible emissions non-compliance. Can you explain that one for us?
Yeah, that again came from the corporate world, and it was hard to go past Volkswagen, the German car maker, who cheated during the year, or they cheated previous to that, but it only came out during the year that they actually cheated on their emissions tests. But when the CEO was taken to task for it, he explained, oh, no, they weren't actually cheating. It was just simply a possible emissions non-compliance.
What does that even mean?
Well, it means we cheated.
It's just it's such a nothing phrase.
But it's the sort of thing that goes on all the time in the corporate world. Something that you want to avoid scrutiny with. Something that sounds a bit unpleasant if you say it directly and clearly. So you come up with these kind of euphemisms like possible emission non-compliance. I think anyone struggling with their New Year's resolutions, given we're getting to the tail end of the first week of January, can probably take a lead from this and just say we're having a possible resolution non-compliance.
I'm going to try using that, see how that goes. But Neil, thank you so much for joining us here on The Daily this morning.
It's been a pleasure.